Good to be here. Matthew chapter 22 in your Bible. Matthew 22. Pastor asked me to mention CDs. We did bring some, and our family sings, and we make CDs to be a blessing to folks. It's a ministry. It's not a money-making deal. He mentioned 9 euros. If you don't have the money, take a CD, all right? And I won't charge Pastor, all right? So that's the way to go. But I heard him earlier say, if you're not honest and you just take one, I'll wind up paying for them. Don't worry about that. But we'd love to leave, and if you can understand our accents and be blessed by it, if you don't sing well, sing good songs. That's our motto. And so they're good songs about the Lord. There is a scripture song CD back there. You guys memorizing the verse. By the way, that's our term, you guys. That's New Jersey talk, all right? Amen. So, yeah, we don't... Near New York, about an hour and a half north of us, they're a little bit northern Jersey. They say use guys and Joysy, and we don't really say that, but we do say you guys, all right? And we're from the Philadelphia area. Anyway, there's some scripture songs, about, I don't even know, maybe 30 of them on here. And this is not a professional CD. It was a session we did at a Sunday school conference. We've enjoyed getting to know you. Matthew chapter 22 in your Bible. Can you hear in the back? This is the first time I've been here. Is it okay? I don't want to be quieter than I need to, but I also don't want to be louder than I need to and have no voice. Pastor said he's already dead tired. Are you going to camp?
All
right. He's going to camp, and we got one down already, so we're in trouble. But we're ready to roll. It does. We're finally getting set in here, I think, with jet lag and all that stuff, figuring out what time of the day it is. But it's all good. God will get us through. So you only live once, right? So it's all good. Matthew chapter 22. We're there this morning. Let's pray together and we'll get into the Word of God. Lord, we love you. Thank you for this day. I thank you for these dear people, Lord, for the love that's been shown to us, the folks hosting us, preparing meals, Lord, taking care of all the details so that we could bring these young people here. And Lord, the same truth that needs to be preached in America today needs to be preached in Ireland and across the world, and that's the truth of the gospel. And Lord, it is a privilege to be here. It's a blessing to be saved, God. And I pray, God, for Ireland. I pray for America. I pray, God, for the missionaries across the world. And some are preaching already. Some will be preaching shortly, God, in different time zones. But Lord, bless your people in your word today. I pray you'd bind the adversary. Lord, have your will and way in this place. If there's one here that doesn't know you as Savior, God, I pray that they would be saved today. Amen. I pray you do a work in the hearts of the young people that we brought here. God, we need work. I need work on me, God. And thank you for your word. Thank you for church, God. And the model we have to gather on the first day of the week and begin in your word. Bless it now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew chapter 22. I want you to notice this beginning in verse number 34. In the Word of God, we're commanded to love. We're commanded to love. And we see it in multiple places. Verse 34 of Matthew 22. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Now, preacher, I don't know if this is where we get it from or not. They asked Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? And he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And really, that should have finished it. But then Jesus said, let me throw something in for free. You ever hear pastors say that? This was not in the sermon. They do that in America. This was not in the sermon. I'm just going to throw this in for free. They said, Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? He said, love God. Okay, no, wait. You're not getting away that easy. Let me throw this in for free. They didn't ask about the second, but Jesus said, and the second, verse 39, is like unto it. thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang, notice this word, all the law and the prophets. They come to Jesus Christ and they say to Him, what is the greatest commandment? Or what is most important? What's the biggest thing? He said, loving God. But then He said this, but wait. The next biggest thing? Loving people.
Right.
Loving people. It's powerful. Luke chapter number 6. Turn there if you would. I hope loving God is something that is easy for you. It ought to be, because God is so good. I hope loving your neighbor is even easy. But I don't know your neighbor. That may be a little more difficult. Hopefully you've got great neighbors. I hope you're easy to love. The people that live alongside you, the people you work with. Love God. Love your neighbor. Look at Luke chapter number 6. Verse 27 is a little more difficult. Jesus speaking again, but I say unto you which hear, love your enemies. Love your enemies. It's a tall task. Do good to them which hate you. So we're told, love God. Love your neighbor. Love your enemies. It's repeated here. Notice if you would, verse 35. Again, He says, but love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great. You want to be blessed? God says, love your enemies. And ye shall be the children of the highest, for He is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. We call ourselves Christians. We want to be like Christ. Christ is this. If you want to be like me, love your enemies. Jesus, what's the most important commandment? What's the biggest thing? Love God. And by the way, don't leave yet. Love your neighbor. Oh, and in Luke, hey, love your enemies. Those that really do you wrong. Because that's what I do. I'm kind to them. In Ephesians chapter 5, we won't turn there for time's sake. Whenever the pastor does marital counseling, he probably goes to Ephesians 5. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. We've heard that one before. Love your wife. Your marriage, you know what you're supposed to do? Love your wife as Christ loved the church. Another tall order.
Right.
Unconditional love. So we're told, hey, Jesus, what's the biggest thing in the world? Love God. Love your neighbor. By the way, love your enemies. You're married, love your wife. Then we see in Titus, and it always bothered me a little bit, the scripture about wives loving their husbands says that they would get the aged women, those that have been down the road a little bit, and teach the wives to love their husband. I'm thinking they have to go to course, to lessons, to school. Here, we're going to have a workshop. How to love these guys, all right? Because it's not going to be easy. You need training, you know. And I'm thinking, good night. Am I really that bad? You know, doesn't just come natural, you know. But anyway, Titus, hey, wives, guess what? You're told to love your husbands in that same passage of Scripture, and it says to love your children. They don't have a problem with that. No lessons for that. They love their kids, all right? But us husbands, we're in trouble, all right? But all throughout Scripture, listen to me, God emphasizes love. Listen to me, it's central. It's big. It's important. And by the way, love is universal. The language of love is the same in Ireland as it is in America. With no accent, by the way. It's love. And God says it's big. Look at John chapter 13. John chapter 13. I don't know Bible Baptist Church very well. First time I've ever been here. I love the tea and coffee in the middle of this. That was great.
Yeah.
I do make one suggestion. If you're going to sing, don't drink tea or coffee before you sing. I was struggling up here. I thought, okay, it was a great idea until I tried to sing, and I'm thinking, this is not good, not good. All right, but that's all right. But notice this, John chapter 13. John chapter 13 and verse 33. I started talking about not knowing your church. I prayed about what to preach. And I don't think you can ever go wrong emphasizing what Jesus emphasized. Right. Making big what God makes big. Because we all need that. John chapter 13, notice this. Verse 33. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me. And as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. Though he told his disciples, Jesus did many times, I'm leaving. I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to rise again. If you've studied your Bible, you know they had a hard time with that, grasping that. What do you mean you're leaving? What do you mean where you go, we can't go? What are you talking? And here Jesus is, and he's coming down to the end. He says, I'm only with you a little while. And I'm leaving. But I want to leave you a message. You're staying here. And here's what I want you to get. Hey, when we come to the end of our life, the words and the messages that we give our loved ones are important ones. We're not worried about the soccer score. You understand? In America, we love sport. We're not talking about trivial things. We're not talking that the car needs washing. He says, I'm leaving. You're staying here. And I want you to know this. A new commandment, verse 34 of John 13. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Guys, I'm going, and where I go, you can't come. You're staying here, and here's your job. Bible Baptist Church in Ireland, here's your job. Amen. Love one another as I have loved you. And notice what he says here. That ye also love one another. And then 35, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. You know what? This church should be a great thing if this church grows. Because if this church grows, it would indicate that individuals have accepted Christ as their Savior. Be a wonderful thing. But if this church is going to grow, people in this area have to know about you. They have to hear that you're here and the message that you preach. And in this passage of Scripture, Jesus does not say, they'll know that you're my disciple when they see you getting in your car dressed in church clothes. Not against that. Some of us are dressed up, some of us are not. Whatever you're wearing is fine. But it doesn't say, oh, look at that guy. It's a tie, it's a jacket. Surely he is a Christian. Not what the Bible says. Does not say if you walk down the street with the Bible in your hand, surely they'll know you're a follower of Christ. I'm not against walking down the street with the Bible in your hand. It is a good thing. But that's not what Jesus said would tell them. We might want to make much of what Jesus made much of. It doesn't say by giving out what we call tracts, you call leaflets, that someone will know follower of Christ. And I'm all for it. We do it. Evangelize, witness, preach, carry a Bible, look like a Christian. They're all good things. But Jesus Christ said, I'm leaving you behind. You're here to be the light of the world. You're here to do my work. And he said this, the whole world will know that you're a follower of me. Watch this. When they see your love. When they see your love. This probably wouldn't be real popular in a lot of churches. Sometimes, Pastor, we even minimize this. I'm for doctrine. You know me. I'm for contend for the truth, for doctrine, for sound doctrine. Some church, love. No. God is love.
Right.
And God says when they said to him, what is the top, most important thing? He said love. And I believe this. God puts a greater emphasis on love than what many times we do.
True.
Too many Christians have this understood love mentality. I said to you this. The scripture says when they see your love, they'll know. The universal symbol for love is the heart. And you know what? God looks where? On the heart. But where does man look? On the outward. And this idea that, I love my neighbor. And I love the people of Ireland. And you know what? It's great if it's inside, but people can't see inside. They have to see manifestations of love. The old joke is familiar. The husband and wife went to the pastor and he said, "What's the problem?" And the wife said, "My husband never tells me anymore that he loves me." And you've heard it. "Never tells me that he loves me." And the husband says, "Look, I told you when we got married, the day we got married, I said I love you, and I'll let you know if it ever changes."
Amen. Amen.
And you know what? The wife didn't like that at all. That wasn't, watch, that was, and can I tell you, he may inside love his wife, but there was no expression. There's no expression of love. And there is a difference. You know, we come from, and if you've never, how many of you have been to the States before? You've been to the States before? We live in the northeast part of the United States. We have a reputation for being cold, not Fahrenheit temperature wise. Cold, not kind, not loving. In the southern part of the United States, they have a reputation of just loving everybody. All right? They call that southern hospitality. Where we come from, we're rude. The traffic light, yeah, preacher light.
He was enjoying.
The traffic light turns green. If you don't hit the gas right away, you are getting beeped at. You are getting called names. You don't talk to people you don't know in New Jersey. If you go to the food store, all right, and you try to drum up a conversation and talk with someone, I kid you not, they will grab their wallet and walk away from you. I go down south with my friends, and they'll be down there. "How are you doing?" "Great." And they're talking. "Good. How's the family?" "Good." And I'll leave, and I'll say, "Who's that?" And they said, "I don't know. I just met him." I'm like, "You were talking to them. That's not normal. You don't just talk to people." And they're like, "I've got a problem." Hey, in the north, we have a reputation of being cold, not being loving, not being kind. Can I tell you, that's not a good thing. Can I say this? Many churches have a reputation just like that. You go in churches, you can, and I don't know this church, so I'm not picking on anybody. A lot of churches, you go in, you go out, no one speaks to you. You come and visit, you never hear from them again. There's a church in Thessalonica that had a great reputation. Look if you would, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. The church at Thessalonica, they had a great reputation. I know you want to have a great church. I know your pastor wants you to have a great church. And more than anything, God wants you to have a great church. And this church in Thessalonica, look at this, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. They were not cold. They were not like New Jersey people, all right? They weren't like that at all. And by the way, can I say this? The darker the night, the brighter the light.
Right.
Y'all hear me? I'm explaining New Jersey to you. Solid Rock Baptist Church has a great opportunity. That's our church.
Amen.
Because in a world where it's just dog eat dog, unkind, give people a hard time, yell at people, you know what we can be? A lighthouse full of love.
Right.
You with me? And that will attract people. This church is Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Look at this, verse 9. Paul speaking. He says this, "But as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you. For ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another." Watch this. And this is what Paul says of them. "And indeed, ye do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia." He says, guys, you're doing a great job. "But we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more."
Amen.
Paul said to this church, it was a real church. He says, hey, when it comes to love, thumbs up. You guys are doing great. But let me encourage you, you can even do better.
Amen.
And that's what we did. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Again, same church. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, look if you would, verse number 2. "Grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet." Look at this. "Because that your faith groweth exceedingly," watch, "and the charity."
Amen.
You know what charity is? That's an expressed love. That's a love that has action to it. Watch this. "The charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth."
Wow.
Can you imagine going to the church at Thessalonica? He says, every one of you. And again, I don't know Bible Baptist Church, but Paul said this, and notice the word he uses, aboundeth. aboundeth. That means there's a lot of it. That means it's pouring over. That means it's excessive. That means this was great. And he said, every one of you, I guarantee you, Paul loved going to this church. Because he said, hey, when it comes to that deal that Jesus said was important, love, you guys get an A+. He said, it's just abounding. It's phenomenal. It's wonderful. And Paul was praising his church. He said, you're doing a great job. Do you understand we can do a lot of things, but if it's not love-driven, it amounts to nothing?
That's true.
We just referenced 1 Corinthians 13. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor. 1 Corinthians 13. That means I give away all my money, Tyler, and have not charity. It profiteth me nothing. Though I give my body to be burned, have not charity. No, the whole chapter, read it. Love is to drive everything. And God is love. And it's so important. Our churches need to be abounding in love. Whether or not you love, listen to this, people. Watch, not God. Whether or not you love people is a test as to whether or not you even know God. 1 John 4, 7 and 8. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. 1 John 4, 7 and 8 said, love one another. If you don't love people, you don't even know God.
Right.
You don't know God. That's what the scripture says. Love's pretty important. Loving God is important. Loving people is important. And everybody needs to know that they're loved. I don't know if we have any macho men in here that would think that, hey, love is just a girl thing. No, 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 no. No, it's not. Everybody needs to be loved. And love is a God thing. Love is a God thing. Everybody needs. And Jesus said this, when they see your love, they'll know. They'll know. They'll know. I wonder, can people see your love? If it's a love they're going to see, watch, they look on the outward. Oh, you could have a great burden for someone. You could care for someone. And it could all be kept inside. I want to preach for a little bit this morning on this subject. Express your love. Express your love. Get it out. How do we express our love? Let's look at a couple examples in Scripture. John chapter 21. John chapter 21. This may be a strong point for you. It may not be. John chapter 21. Look if you would. We have the Lord Jesus Christ talking to Simon. It's another name for Peter. And if you would, look at verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Now let me say, this was Jesus talking. And does he know all things?
Yes.
Does Jesus know all things?
Yes.
So he's asking Simon, do you love me? Every question Jesus asked was a rhetorical question because he knew the answer to it.
Right.
Sometimes you ask your kids a question and they know you know the answer. Why are you asking me this? You know I know. Yeah, I know you know. You know, because I want to hear you say it. You know. But here we are, and watch. Jesus is talking, and he says, Simon, do you love me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Peter's like, Jesus, you know everything. You know I love you. And he said unto him, feed my lambs. He said unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest I love. And he asked Peter three times. Now, if Jesus knew it, that Peter loved him, why did he ask him three times? You know why? Because he wanted Peter to say it. He wanted to hear him say, I love you. Can I say this? We have an example here of how we express our love. And it's by telling people that we love them. I would hope and pray that that would be a natural thing in your home. But if Ireland is like the United States, that's not a natural thing in everybody's home. I happen to come from a home where saying I love you is very common. My dad, myself, my mom, my brothers, my sister. It's just the way it is. I remember growing up. And dad would always say, I love you. I love you. Sometimes as teenagers, we get a little weird. A lot weird. I don't know why. I remember at one point, Brother Eric, my dad said, Mike, it's common. Good night. I love you. I was a teenager. And I said, good night, Dad. That's all I said. I was in my room with my door shut. He was out in the hallway. He said, I said I love you. I said, you too. It's like I couldn't get it out. Why? I don't know. Next thing I know, a burst of light enters my room as my door opens and the light floods in. He comes over and says, Mike, I said I love you. Not to be intimidating, but he just wasn't going to let that build up. And I did love my dad. He knew I loved him. I said, I love you too, Dad. I love you too, Dad. And I put an end to that. All right, that was the last time I tried that. But you know what? We ought to tell people if we love them, we ought to tell them that we love them.
Man, you're right.
Listen to me. Hey, if you have a husband and you love him, let me ask you this. Are you expressing that? It's in here. Well, let's get away from that. That's what we're talking about this morning. Tell him. If you have a wife and you love her, listen to me. Tell her.
Amen.
When they see your love, you have children that you love. You have friends that you love. You have a grandmom. Hey, why? And listen to me. Tell them why you can.
That's right.
Yeah, amen.
Y'all hear me? Don't take any day for granted.
True.
Your grandmom's alive. Your grandpa. It's been a while. And if you were to get the news today, they're gone. You would be brokenhearted.
Yeah, that's right.
But listen to me. Do they know today that you love them? And it's today, texting, email, phone call, letter, whatever. There's so many ways. But you listen to me, you have a window. And I do, it's common. I'll tell the kid, I'll say, Frankie's here on the aisle. I'll say, Frank, you love me? What are they going to say? No? Yeah. But I do, and it ought to be common.
You're right.
Yeah, I love you, brother. How much? No, come on, man. How? All right, now we got it. We're good. Yeah, and it ought to be common that we... Well, man, that's hard for me. That's hard for me. We're not used to that.
Yeah.
Listen to me. Get used to it.
Good. That's good.
We didn't do that in our home. I'm a man. I grew up in home. My dad never told me. Can I say break that cycle?
Good.
Tell people that you love them.
Right.
Brother Brian sits here to the left of me, and Brother Brian's wife, a year ago, March 24th, went to be with the Lord with cancer. You pray for the Scullys. Brother Brian has 8 children. Bethany's 2. 2-year-old. Up into the 20s. Mom got cancer. Vicky went to be with the Lord. They went to the doctors. They said, you have a couple weeks to a couple months to live. Listen to me. Hey, if she was here today, he would tell her. He would. And he would say if he were preaching, hey, don't miss opportunities. Say it while you can. Peter, do you love me? Lord, you know I love you. But he wanted to hear it. He wanted to hear you teenagers that are here. You know what? If you've got Wi-Fi or this or that and the other, you know what? Do your mom and dad's heart real good. Hey, love you. Yeah. Ireland's awesome. Don't feel bad for me. I'm doing fine. Just letting you know I love you.
Good.
Huge. Amen. Huge. Good. Big. Big. Important. Matthew chapter 26. Who needs to hear from you today? And by the way, if you're breathing air, you can break that cycle.
True.
Well, that's just not the way we work in our house. Change it.
Yeah.
God will actually allow you to repent. It'd be weird at first, and it will be. You know, if you'd be real smart, just go to them and tell them what you're doing. Say, hey, went to church, preached on expressing your love. I know I never say it. But I'm just telling you, it's inside. I'm bad at saying it, but I'm saying it now. I love you, and I'm going to try to say it even more than ever. You know, they'll go, I'll take that. I don't know who it is. They'll take that. They're not going to go, no, get away from me. No, no, no. They're going to go, I got you. It'd be a great thing.
That's right.
Say it. Say it. Say it.
Right.
Matthew chapter 26. Look at this. We can express our love, number one, by what we say. Number two, look at this. Matthew chapter 26, verse number 6. Now when Jesus was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment. And he poured it, look at this, and she poured it on his head as he sat at meat. When the disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. When Jesus understood it, He said unto them, Why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this that this woman hath been done be told for a memorial of her. We can express our love, number one, by what we say, but watch, number two, by what we do. By what we do. Here's this woman with an alabaster box. And she comes and it had perfumes and ointments and it was very expensive. And she broke that and gave that to Jesus Christ. And He was moved. Listen to me, when you do things for people, it hits their heart. It says, I love you. He was so moved, He said this, wherever the gospel's preached, forever, this will be a memorial of her. We'll never, watch, that means this, never forget it. You understand that it's 2015? I stand by God's grace in Ireland, and we're talking about what this lady did for Jesus Christ. She had no idea on that day. She had no idea, preacher. Yeah, about 2,000 years from now, some guy from the United States can be standing in Ireland talking about me breaking this box. She had no idea the impact of her expression of love. And neither do you and neither do I. When we do things for people, hey, they never forget it. They never forget it. I'm telling you, there may be some people where you've done something, they kind of walk away and don't always express thanks like we thought they should have. But listen, if our motive is love, we won't worry about that. But listen, they will not forget it. And here we stand 2,000 years later. She never dreamed on that day we'd be talking about her. I don't know what heaven knows. I don't know if she's, hey, they're talking about you again down there. I don't know. But here it is. You know why? It hit the heart of Jesus. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Preached camp the last summer. We were in Maryland. There was a hard of hearing girl there. And she would read my lips, and I think she got most of the preaching. I didn't realize she was hard of hearing until I sat next to her at lunch one day. And I noticed her hearing aid. And I said, how well do you hear? And she's talking to me, and she had a speech impediment from her, you know. And there was a television show in the States, and it was about a female FBI agent. And Sue Thomas was her name. It's a true story. And it was FB, and then they would put EYE. She would use her eyes to read people's lips through binoculars. True story. And she worked for the FBI in the United States. Clean show. There's not a lot of clean things out there. And I said, have you ever heard of Sue Thomas? She said, no. And so I said to my wife, Carla, I said, hey, get her address. She didn't know why we're asking for it. And I said, send her, order this series on Amazon. Hallelujah. You have Amazon over here? Yes, worldwide. I said, order that. Send that to her house. Can I tell you, listen to me, I preached all week to that young lady, as well as the other teenagers. And I hope she knew that I cared about her. But when she got home from camp, and 3 days later, a package arrived at her door from the camp preacher with a gift for her. Brother Ledbetter, listen to me, I believe she knew he really did care about me. He really did care about me. Because when you do things for people, it hits their heart. Right. We have a guy in our church, his name is Keith, and one day he came into work, and Keith doesn't make a lot of money, his son Gavin is here. And he came into church, and you know what? There was a new to him used pickup truck sitting there with his name on it. Somebody in the church, God had put it on their heart. Cost them $4,000 or $5,000, I don't know. Can I tell you? Guaranteed, he hasn't forgot where that truck came from. Guaranteed, watch, and we don't love just to get. But if that lady who gave him that truck ever needed anything. Can I tell you, they have a bond for life. And it's not over a truck.
Right.
It's over love. You understand that?
Right.
Forever. There's a bond. When we do for people. My son Michael's a type 1 diabetic here. This winter, we get snow in New Jersey. All right, I think you get a little bit here. We get, at times, 6 inches, 12 inches. We don't normally get 3 feet, but that's fun when we do. But they all go out and they shovel snow. And Mike's numbers were high. His sugar numbers were 500, 550. We had to get him down, get the insulin going. It's only supposed to be about 80 to 120. So they called, hey, can Mike come shovel? And as a 16-year-old boy, he loves to make money. I said, Mike, you can't go. I said, your numbers are just too high. And there's a man in our church. A couple weeks later, Mike got a letter. And it just said this. It said, Mike, I know you have diabetes. I know you wanted to go work. I've never heard you complain. Here's the money you would have made had you worked that night. Love you. Keep on. And I saw that letter, preacher. And he didn't have to do that. And no one had to love my kid. And he's not trying to buy my love, but listen to me, love hits your heart. And I will never forget that note, that expression of love. And can I tell you, he won't either.
Right.
And here's a woman that came to Jesus, broke that box, and Jesus said, I'll never forget this. My neighbor heard he got cancer. He had been in the hospital. Me and the boys, and they have 6 acres of grass. Said, hey, Ken's having a tough time. Let's mow his grass. Let's mow his grass. Why? Jesus said this, love your neighbor as yourself. I have no idea the impact. Well, what if I talk to him about spiritual things and this and that and the other? What will that do for him? Hopefully he'll receive all of that. And he actually does come to church now. Praise God for that. But when we love people, we may want to emphasize what Jesus emphasized.
You're right.
We may want to do life the way Jesus tells us to. What's most important? Love God. Wait, don't go away. And love people. And by the way, at Bible Baptist Church, you want people to know you're here. You want to draw people to Christ. I'm for the leaflets. I'm for the Bible. I'm for a sharp building. I'm for this, a website. I'm for all of it. But he said the way they'll know you're followers of me, watch, it's when they see your love. I love you. I'm doing for you. I'm helping you. You understand, part of this target the heart the other night was playing soccer.
Right.
Just telling you. There's kids in the community. Come, we want to talk to you. Maybe, maybe not. Let's play soccer for a while. Hey, you're good. Hey, that's really good. Hey, and all of a sudden they're like, wait, I think they like us. You understand? And then the next night, yo, why don't you think about the tent? That's the way it goes. And Jesus said to his disciples, love people, man. And by what we, I could go on all day talking about giving and the impact of giving. You never forget what people do for you. You just don't. You don't. I mean this. He didn't do it to gain my love. As a missionary, the Ledbetters will always have a special place in my heart because we came here and you've done for us.
Right.
Just what love does. Just what love does. I would other missionaries love me? Yes, but I didn't experience that love from them. You understand? Do for people. Do for people. Doesn't have to be a lot. Buying someone's cup of coffee. Helping a neighbor. Baking a pie for someone who's sick. I always feel awful when people do for me. At times, I went to a preacher revival 2 weeks ago, and someone handed me a note. Very nice note with $100. Here, take your wife out to dinner. I'm like, no, I feel bad. And yet, I hardly knew this brother. His last name is Moore, Brother Moore. I won't forget it.
Amen.
Someone says to me, hey, who's Pastor Moore? I don't know. No, I know. Why? He loved me.
Yeah.
He loved me. Find someone this week and love them. Tell people you love them. Well, Hasten, we'll move quickly. Here we go, ready? By saying we love people. By doing for people. Look at this, John chapter 21. John chapter 21. Preacher, what time are we normally done?
About 2 o'clock.
He said 2 o'clock. That's not true. I'm serious. What time are you normally done?
Close.
John chapter 21. He said, I asked him yesterday, I'm like, how long do you preach? He's like, normally about an hour. I said, I'm only going to be 45 minutes. He said, they will love you. I said, all right. There you go. So I hope you will. All right. John chapter 21. Look at this. How else? By what we say. By what we do. And folks, listen to me before we move on. You have the power to express love this week. If you want to. I'm telling you. If you want to, you can say it. If you want to, you say, I'm 14, I'm 15. You can love someone. You can do something. Hey, let me carry that. Hey, let me do that. Hey, let me give you this. Hey, it doesn't have to be a lot. And you're going to be impacting people. You're going to be impacting people. Look at this. John chapter 21. Look at verse 20. There was a disciple known as John the what? Beloved. You remember that?
Right.
Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved, following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Listen, there's a disciple that we call John the Beloved. And in our culture of perversion, listen to me, think ye not there was anything weird about this. It was simply John expressing his love to Jesus by giving him a hug. Listen to me. Did all the disciples love Jesus? Not Judas, but everyone else. True? Were they all called the Beloved?
No.
There was one that did this with Jesus. And they all knew. He's showing, watch, affection. Can I tell you, showing affection is a good thing? Preacher doesn't want it to be wrong in this church as far as we keep our appropriate distance with male and female and all. But watch me. Showing affection is a God thing. It's a good thing. I've had the opportunity to work in education for many years. And it's sad because we live in a perverted society. You understand? But you read the studies of young people who grew up without being touched, without affection. And it hinders their development. It does. It's normal for babies to be held and loved and hugged. And all of that is totally normal. And we're talking about the right way. But listen to me. We live in an unaffectionate world. And there was a disciple and they said, you're the Beloved. And you know why? Because of this right here.
Right.
Listen to me. Can I tell you this? Show affection if you love people.
Amen.
If I walk up what's your name again?
Tyler.
If I walk up to Tyler and shake his hand. I knew his name, it was just taking me a second. 6 in the morning or whatever. If I walk up and shake his hand and you guys see that, you know what it tells you? Acquaintance. First time they met, or maybe they've met a time or two. If I walk up like this, that says a little more to you, doesn't it?
Yeah.
They know each other. Possibly even they love each other. And sometimes you see it to where there you go. And he loves him too. I'm serious. Hey, what? People feel touch. If I walk up and I put my arm on Brother Eric right now, he's feeling it. Oh, I'm serious. We have a pastor in Pennsylvania. His name is Pastor Penichetti.
Oh, yeah.
You know him?
I do.
He's crazy.
He is
crazy. He's this high. He's this wide. Inner city Philadelphia, Italian, and yeah, mafia, and he works inner city with a bunch of crazy people. So his filter doesn't always work on his mind, and he starts preaching, and it is like, it's hilarious, and then you may blush a little bit or whatever, you know. He's not ungodly, it's just, oh, you can't say that. You know, we're not in inner city Philadelphia. That's the way Pastor Penichetti is. Every time he sees me, he'll walk up to me. Michael, good to see you. And he's this little guy. And he grabs my face. And this is what he says. He's Italian. It's just the way they do it. Just the way. And he's like, I love you. And he kisses me on the cheeks. I thought, I'm glad you're not Russian. I don't want one right here. No. But every time. And he'll look at me and hold my face. He said, tell mom and dad I love them. I love you. You know what? The guy kissed me every... I'm disappointed. If I walk out, he doesn't kiss me. I'm thinking something's wrong, you know? But that's just the way he does it. Hey, they're Italian. They just kiss. Hey, but you know what? I feel it. I know it. You walk up to someone. Hey, put your arm around them. How you doing?
Amen.
I appreciate you.
Amen.
The people feel it. John, the beloved. He was a guy who showed affection. Showed affection. Hug your kids.
Amen.
Really?
Good.
Husbands and wives, watch me. You understand, they say we speak with a lot more than just our voice. They say 80% of communication is not vocal, nonverbal. You sit in the car, you're driving down the road, you grab your wife's hand. You're talking. You're expressing love. She's feeling it. Message being sent. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. And we miss this stuff. And here was John, and he was affectionate. And it was good, and it was right. And they knew that he loved Jesus. Let me give you this too quickly. Ready? Luke chapter 10. Number one, we said by what we say. Do you tell people that you love them? I hope you tell your pastor you love them.
Right.
Paul said, the more I love, the less I'm loved. I hope that's not the case. Luke chapter 10. Say it. Do. For people. It'll tell them that you love them. Show affection. Watch this. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Now it came to pass as they went, he entered into a certain village. A certain woman named Martha received him into her house. She had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet. Martha, cumbered about much serving. She was busy. Martha was running all over. Came to him and said, Lord, dost not thou care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bitter, therefore, that she helped me. But Jesus said unto her, look at this, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about with many things. You're so busy, Martha. But one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Can I tell you, if you love someone, say it. If you love someone, do something for them. If you love someone, show affection. But let me also say this. We can express our love by giving our time and attention.
Good.
Amen.
Our time and attention. You know what, Dean? Here's Martha running all over the place. I'm busy, I'm busy, I'm busy, I'm busy, I'm busy, I'm busy, I'm busy. Did she love Jesus? I believe she did. But Mary said, you know what? I love Jesus so much. I just want to sit still and be with you.
Amen.
That's good.
I just want to be with you.
Amen.
Spend some time with you.
Amen.
So many of us, hey, we got to get together. We need to get together sometime and have a meal. We need to get together. We need to spend... And we don't. People need your time and attention. I have my children. They're not raised yet. I've had so many men, Pastor, grab me and tell me the window closes quickly. Don't... How many of you understand what we're talking about? Kids growing up. Mike, don't miss it.
Mm-mm.
Spend time with your kids. Oh, and I can run around. I got to make money so that he can have this. And I got to do this. And I've got to do that. And I've got to build a church. And I've got to do this. And I can I tell you what my kids need? My time. My attention.
You're right.
God says to us, be still and know that I am God. We express our love by looking at someone or being with someone and saying, hey, you're important enough to me. To where I want to be with you. Spend time with you. You may or may not know the name here, but in America, there was a famous country singer, Hank Williams. He had a son, Hank Williams Jr., who also sings. And one time I was driving down the road listening to a Christmas program. They were interviewing all the country music stars and asking them, what's your favorite Christmas? And the one girl would get on, and my favorite Christmas when I got my red bike. That was the best Christmas. And, you know, that's the day before Christmas. And my favorite Christmas was when I got my first ukulele. And I thought, what in the world's a ukulele? I think it's a little guitar, all right? And they said, oh, that was the best. I couldn't put that toy down. That was great. They go on, and they're talking about their best Christmases. Then they interviewed Hank Williams Jr. They said, Hank, what was your favorite Christmas? And I was surprised they left it on the air, to be honest. He said, I didn't really enjoy Christmas. It's like the day before Christmas. I thought, well, this is humbug, you know. He said, I didn't really enjoy Christmas. This is what he said. He said, I got all the toys that every other kid wanted. This is what he said. I got full-size pinball machines and arcade games. He said, I got go-karts that every kid in my neighborhood wanted to ride. He said, and the day, Christmas afternoon, everybody came to my house to see what I got. This is what he said. But the only thing I wanted for Christmas was my dad. And he said, on Christmas, my dad was out with everybody else. Entertaining, singing, doing his shows. Here's a little boy at home, said, I just want my dad. You can have all this stuff. Folks, listen to me, we get one life. And I know we're busy. You're busy and I'm busy. But if there are people that you love, you haven't seen in a while, you haven't sat down with in a while, you haven't been taking time for, I know you can't just shut the whole world down. We wish we could. But listen to me, spend time with them. Martha running all over. She said, Jesus, can't you get her to help me and run with me? And she said, Mary chose the good part. Spend time with the people you love. The window closes. You will get the call. I'm blessed. My mom and dad are both still alive. You know what? Every day, and I'm trying to realize, every Christmas, every 4th of July, everything we get to do, I better take pictures. I better not miss them. But listen to me, it happens to young people. Oh, it's not just about dying. And again, your kids are out of your home and this and that. Nobody says, I wish I would have worked more. They all go back to the people they love. At the end, here he is. Said Mary, he chose the good part. The good part. Time and attention. Notice this, lastly, John 18. John 18. You know what ought to be common at Bible Baptist Church? The words, I love you. Good. Like the church at Thessalonica, if we all abounded with charity, can you imagine? We just spent our time loving each other and loving anyone we can in our community. I mean, we're studying and we're doing verses, all that. But I'm telling you, it aboundeth. It's like this place, you walk in here, and man, do they love people. Amen. By doing for each other. Oh, it'd be great. Affection. Really. I'm talking about appropriate stuff, but man, stop hugging me. Whatever. Hey, what's up? Love you, man. How you doing? You know, hey, I love you too. How you doing over here? Good. And I love you, Travis. Come over. Yeah, I love. And you walk in, good night. I'm wrinkled. All right. They all love me that much. But showing affection. Time. We moved a little while back. Moving is horrible. Packing boxes. You know what I'm talking about? Loading the truck. This, that, the other. There was a family that came over and helped us move. They're called the Ipsons. They came over to our house and helped me for like 6 hours. And yeah, the boxes were heavy and the beds were a pain and the dressers were not fun to move. But I was humbled by the fact that you guys came over here and gave me 6 hours. You understand? They gave me their time. And they moved to Colorado. And it's not in my notes, but I remember them doing that. And it's like there's just times where someone says, everything else can stop. I'm here for you.
Good.
And you give them their time. And it means a lot. It means a lot. Lastly, look at this if you would. We can express our love by showing affection, by giving time and attention. Then number 5, John 18. And verse number 10. Two men. I'm in Luke. Give me 1 second. In Luke 18:10, two men went up into the temple to pray. In John 18:10, Simon Peter. John 18:10. Simon Peter, remember him? Guy who always talked a lot, put his foot in his mouth. We can relate to that, right? Having a sword. Jesus was in the garden. Soldiers come to arrest Jesus. Remember the story? I would run. I'm in the garden. Here comes the soldiers. We're in trouble. Exit stage right. I'd be out of here. Instead, Simon Peter stands up, took out a sword and drew it, and smote off the high priest's servant's ear, his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Then said Jesus unto Peter, put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink of it? I read this story, and I know that Jesus knew Peter loved him. And by the way, if you get your ear cut off, and the guy you're arresting puts it back on your head, you may not want to arrest him. Just saying. You may think, no. Reassign me. There's something special about this person. And that's what happened in that story. But here's Peter. And man, they're in a bad spot. Put yourself in the story. Soldiers are coming. I'm scared. And all of a sudden, they come to get Jesus. Peter whips out his sword and cuts off Malchus's ear. Can I tell you? Jesus knows all things. But at that point, he didn't wonder, do you really love me? When he looked at Peter, he knew, this guy's got my back. This guy loves me. You just stood up for me and put your life on the line. Wasn't worried about yourself. Watch, we can express our love by our loyalty. You say, he didn't say as before, Lord, you know I love you. But he said, I love you when he swung that sword.
Right.
And said, I'm standing up for you.
Right.
I don't know about America, Ireland, but in America, we have a very disloyal society. Very disloyal. Husbands disloyal to wives, wives to husbands, parents to children, church members to pastors. I mean, businesses, corporations, guys work for them for 40 years, out the door, this, that. I mean, there's no loyalty. Can I tell you, that's not the way God is. I'll never leave thee or forsake thee.
Right.
Hey, you're going to have problems in Bible Baptist Church? You will. You know what God says? Go to the pastor, work it out.
Yeah.
Not stab him in the back and go on Facebook and this and that and the other. Or amongst your friends and I sit here and they sit here and we're met. No, where's the loyalty?
Right.
And here, Jesus looked at Peter and knew. Thanks, Peter.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to put his ear back on. You put your sword away. It's not time for this. But you know what he thought? That guy, where was everybody else?
Right.
He knew Peter loved him. He knew Peter loved him because of his expression of loyalty.
Good.
There was a young man in our school. His name was Dale. Dale was a little bit slow academically. Special needs, just slightly. We were playing baseball. And playing baseball in gym class. There was a boy who came up to bat. His name was Todd. Todd was cool. Todd was the best basketball player, one of the best athletes, best looking guy, and he comes up to the plate. And he starts, for some reason, I was playing shortstop, Dale was playing third. And Dale's not the best athlete and struggled a little bit. Academically, he struggled and just, you know, whatever. Todd starts, Dale, I'm going to hit it to you, right at you, because you're never going to catch it. Dale, I'm going to hit it to you because you stink. Dale, what? And, I mean, he's just riding him. I don't even know what it was about. Just killing this guy. And I'm on shortstop. And I said, Todd, shut up. That might be a bad word. If it is, I'm sorry. All right? Shut your mouth. Stop picking on Dale. And he said, who are you to tell me? He's like, I'll do whatever I want. He stinks and I'm going to hit. And he just kept going. If you're a man, you've been here before. You ever start to get like that tingling in your feet?
Yeah.
That kind of like starts to move up your body. You understand what I'm talking about? And your insides kind of start shaking, something called adrenaline.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I start walking from shortstop, and I'm not the biggest guy in the world, all right? But I start walking from shortstop, and this guy won't stop. And he's just going. And it's not the smartest thing to attack a guy with a bat in his hand, all right? But I go after this kid who's up to bat. And someone had jumped on my back. By the time I got to him, I just grabbed his ankles and pulled. I'm like, I'm going to kill you. Why do you keep making fun of that? You know, and it ended. Wasn't that long ago. And I'm 43. We've been out of school a long time. I bumped into Dale. Doesn't go to our church. But I bumped into him. How you doing? Good. I miss you guys. I miss you too, Dale. How you doing? How's your family? He talked to me. I talked to him. He's getting ready to leave. Dale said to me, hey. So he said, I never forgot that day you stood up for me on the baseball field. Just random. I mean, this was just a couple years ago. So I never forgot. It had been 20 years. I said, hey, you know I love you. He said, I know you do. You know why? Someone stood up for him. Had his back. Loyalty. Can I tell you, that's what we need for each other. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. Boy, we want God to bless our church. I didn't say you're going to have the perfect relationship with no bumps or problems. But you know what you do? You don't be disloyal.
Yeah.
You don't gossip and you go to someone. You just solve it. And you work it out. Amen. And at times you need to be there and you're loyal. Loyalty speaks. You know, I'm done. But let me just say this to you. If we look at your life, everybody in here, listen. If we look at your life, does your life shout to this world that you're a follower of Christ? Listen to me. If you are, Jesus said this, by the love that you show, the whole world will know that you're a follower of me. Take it very personal right now. By the amount of love that you're saying and doing, expressing your loyalty, your affection, your time, do people look at you and say, hey, I don't know what they have, but I want it.
Yeah.
And God says it is the greatest thing in the world. What's the greatest? Love God. What's the second? Love your neighbor as yourself. Can I say this? If you're here and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, the greatest expression of love ever, John 15, verse 13, the Bible says this, greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. I walked in here today, listen to me, I don't know who knows Christ. I'm talking about love and the fact that God is love and we need to express our love. Can I tell you the greatest expression of love took place 2,000 years ago on the cross of Calvary.
Right.
Most familiar verse in Scripture, watch, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He what? You know what He did? He expressed it. Listen to me, He expressed it. If Scripture told us, preacher, God loves us, we should believe it.
Amen.
We should believe it. If the Bible just said God loves you, and that was it, we should believe it. But He says, God loved you, John 3:16, and He expressed His love on a cross. And hey, 2,000 years ago, on the cross of Calvary, listen to me, this is the way He said He loves you and me.
You're right.
He loved you that much. I'll show you that I love you. And you may be here today, and can I tell you, you cannot love the way God wants you to love until you have God. We love. The whole world, I think people love their kid. But listen to me, there's another level.
Right.
Listen to me. You can't fully love and fully experience love until you have God in you because God is love.
Amen.
And He went, watch me, He went to a cross so that you could have a relationship with Him. He went to a cross so that your sins could be forgiven. He went to the cross to fix what was broken. What's broken is the fact that you've done wrong and I've done wrong. And we're not perfect and heaven is perfect. And we can't go to that perfect place because we're not. And He says, I can fix that. I'll die for you. I love you enough. I will die for you. You may sit in here today and say, man, I've never received Christ in my heart. I've been around these people. I'm here at church. Someone invited me. Do you know that you're going to heaven? Don't reject God's expression of love.
Right.
A few years back, we were building a snowman at our house. We had gotten 8 or 10 inches of snow, and we built a snowman out front. Then we went across the street to shovel snow for our neighbor, Mrs. Noecker. She's 80 years old. Took the boys, even took Kayla, my daughter. We're shoveling snow for her, trying to love our neighbor. Got done, she popped her head out the door. Common in America, sometimes amongst the elderly people. She said, thank you for shoveling my walk. I have something for you. And she handed us a can of cookies. I don't know if they were 1 year old, 2 years old, 3 years old. I don't know. You understand? And I said, thank you, Mrs. Noecker. That's no. And she looked and she said, "Oh, you made a snowman across the street. Our house is right across the street." I said, "Yes, ma'am." Wait. She goes back in the house. She comes out with a scarf. And we had put buttons for eyes, and we had had the carrot for the nose, right? And she comes out with a scarf. And my daughter Kayla was there. And Kayla said, she's like, "Here's the scarf for your snowman." Kayla says, "Oh, no, Mrs. Noecker." She said, "No, we don't want your scarf." And I looked at Kayla and I start nudging her. I'm like, take this scarf. And Kayla meant well. She felt bad that she would give us that scarf. And so we did take it. We started to walk away. She's like, "Daddy, I wasn't trying to be mean. I felt bad." I said, "Listen, Kayla. That was the way she was loving us." I said, "You don't want to reject someone's love. Listen to me. This is the way he loved you and me so that you could know him and go to heaven." Everybody in this room, listen to me. It'd be really bad to look to God and say, "Hey, I know you went to the cross, but no thank you," and walk away. Did you ever see someone who trying to marry someone and they go to get engaged and she says no? And you're like, "Oh, poor guy." Right? Watch me. This happens all the time. Listen to me. Hey, watch. Serious. God says to you today, "Hey, I want to have a relationship with you. And it cost me my life on the cross." Don't say no to God. The greatest thing in the world is to say, "Hey, thank you." And receive that gift today. And if you've already received that gift, "Hey, Jesus, what's the most important thing?" "Love God." "Thank you." No, don't go anywhere. "Second, love your neighbor as yourself." "I'm leaving. Going to the cross. I'm going to rise again, ascend to the Father. I'm leaving you down here. Here's your mission. Love people." And when they see your love, they'll know you're a follower of me. If they're going to see it, guys, hey, got to be more than just inward feelings. Got to be more than just inward compassion. It has to be expressed. Church at Thessalonica, you guys are awesome. Could you imagine if every one of us caught this? Everyone in Bible Baptist Church caught this, like the church at Thessalonica. And we went about just doing good. And of course, with that is sharing the gospel. You understand? He said, "The love of every one of you aboundeth." I believe this. Church would grow. Church would grow. What was it? The website? Was it the new leaflet that we'd made? What? Can I tell you what it is? No, it's just doing what God told us to do. And loving. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, be a great day to accept Him today. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Father, we love you today. Lord, thank you for loving us. And God, we pray that you would do a work in our hearts. Help those that know you as Savior to love like they've never had before. God, there's someone that needs to hear from us. There's someone that needs our time. There's someone that we can do for. God, there's loyalty that we need to express. Help us to love. And God, if there's one here, they've never accepted you as Savior. Oh, like that scarf for the snowman, I pray they wouldn't reject it. Oh, like that engagement ring, that expression of love. Lord, you dying on the cross was your expression of love to this world. And I pray that no one here would say no to you, but that they would receive that today.